Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Welcome to the show. It's November 1st. Where did the year go, Wendy? Where did it go? It was just here and then it left quickly.
How many days till Christmas?
Very quickly. 56?
I'm surprised you don't have the hours counted down.
56 days till
Christmas. Boy.
How did Dave Ennett not have a single trick-or-treater? That's disturbing to me. I don't know how that happened.
Well, it's that moat. I told him.
He does have a moat in front of his house.
I don't live very far from him. And
did you have any?
Very few.
Really?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
I live on a busier street than Dave, but it's still we have no sidewalks or very few streetlights and things like that. And
yeah.
I didn't get home until about 5:45, but I think there were only 3 or 4 kids after I got home.
Our hours in LaGrange were 3 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't man my post till about 3:07.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sat there in my Ozzy costume with a beer. And
did the kids recognize Ozzy Osbourne?
They had no idea.
Did they recognize the beer?
Yeah.
They didn't.
Miller High Life.
I kind of hit it as they walked up. But we had
a gentlemanly thing to do.
Things never change.
This is how anal I am. I told you I was irritated with Jim for buying the minis.
Yeah.
It was a mixture of fun size and minis.
Yeah.
And there was kind of a quandary when they'd go, what do I take? So I separated them. Mm-hmm. And I had the fun size in a bowl, and I had the minis in a big, giant Ziploc bag. And I said, take one of the big ones and two of the little ones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I started running out of candy.
Right,
so
you
then,
pace yourself stuff like that.
So then, I love the little kids where it's like, take one, and they go, okay, and they I had to grab some kid's hand. I'm going, it's going
Wendy,
on 7 o'clock.
Did you?
No, I didn't grab their hand, but I swear to God, I did say, hey, just one, it's getting late.
So we had it's sort of similar in that, you know, we just didn't have any people, and we had all this candy, and it happens all the time. So then you put these kids in a terrible position because I'm like, you know, you can take a lot.
Yeah.
And then you tell
a lot.
Well, you tell a 7-year-old, take a lot, right? And then you're like, hey, buddy, not that much.
Right. But see, like, when I said take one fun size, I'm like, take one of these.
Yeah.
If they went to grab two, I said, no, just one. But you know what? Since you put that back, take two of these
bonus
minis.
Candy.
So it worked out.
That's a good incentive program you set up for the kids.
Just be honest and listen to an adult, and look, you'll get rewarded. But I'm telling you, 7:03, I shut that light off.
It's over.
I'm done.
No more Halloween.
I sat there for almost 4 hours.
My wife always gets, and we've discussed this, but she gets the candy that she likes, right?
Most
Which makes sense,
right,
because then
get.
If there's any left over. So we now have an entire room full of Almond Joy, which I don't
Could
care
you bring
for
some in for me?
If you
That's
want
my
them,
favorite candy.
We've got hundreds of pieces of Almond Joy.
Yeah, Sharon loves that too.
I got nothing left.
I don't understand it. I don't get it at all.
And then I was mad because aside from Jim buying the minis mixed in with the fun size,
mm-hmm.
he bought 2 giant bags, lots of candy in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought an additional 6 bags because I didn't think that would be enough.
Wow.
And I literally went through all of them.
It's gone.
And he would have left me at home while he was watching Bob Weir with no candy. And then
That's
what do you
right.
do? Hang on, kids. Let me run to 7-Eleven.
Right. That's a problem. My favorite kid last year was a little boy. He must have been 5 years old, and he was dressed like a bug. And I had a pumpkin filled with candy. And I said, take as many as you want. It was toward the end. Take as many as you want. And he looked in, and he looked in. He didn't touch any of them. He just kept looking in, and he goes, Is this all you've got?
Oh.
There was nothing that appealed to him, but I liked his honesty.
I had a kid who goes, they've got the Dove bars.
Oh.
And then he's, you know, diving, because, you know, they were little mini things, so he's like diving through. He goes, wait, I see another one. I'm like, okay. I said, well, I've never had one, so he pulled out a second one and said, here, you can have this one.
Oh, how generous.
I know.
I had a lot of fun until, like, the last 45 minutes.
Then
I was,
what happened?
I was cold. I wanted to go inside.
Yeah.
I just didn't feel like...
Well, but you can dole out candy from inside. That's allowable.
A lot of people do that.
Most people do that.
Yeah, I decided to sit on the porch.
The beer warms up more quickly.
Listen, I had a puppy who is... by the way, if I get a phone call, I have to take it because Kona is getting neutered today.
Oh.
And I have to hear how the surgery went.
Remember last year when we did that with Steve? What a horrible day that was for all of us.
But I stayed outside because I didn't want
Some
the door...
Some more than others.
I didn't want the doorbell to keep ringing because I had to put the dog in the crate, and I thought that would drive him crazy. So
yeah.
I just sat on the porch,
right.
caught up on some of my shows on my iPad, and then I was like, every time a kid came up, like, really, I got to pause it again?
How mean of you to give out Hershey's with nuts, Wendy. You really should have rethought that yesterday. I don't know what you were thinking there.
You're a mean man.
It sounds like you didn't enjoy it at all, Wendy.
I honestly did. It was the last 45 minutes. I was just like, I'm done. I did it, and I was nice to every kid.
Nope. I hope.
I was nice to every kid.
Yeah.
And then the funny thing was, I said, you know, oh, it's getting kind of late here. You know, I'm running out of candy. And this was the kid who grabbed a whole handful. I'm like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
I'm running out of candy.
I'm short on candy.
What part of that do you not understand?
What was he dressed like?
I didn't. There were a lot of like lame costumes this year.
Come on, give me something good, Wendy.
I'm trying to remember the best costume I saw.
They were
a lot
lame?
Of Supermans.
That's not lame. Really,
Spider-Man.
Supermans. Oh, that's good. I liked Spider-Man and Superman.
A couple of Rizzos, not Anthony, but
from Greece.
Yeah,
Rizzos. Yeah,
yeah, and then Scream masks.
I think if it was a brother and sister, and one was dressed like Rizzo from Greece, and the other Rizzo from the Cubs, that'd be the costume of the night,
the
right?
Rizzo twins,
the two Rizzos,
dueling
yeah.
Rizzos.
Yeah, I would love that costume.
There was a Chucky that actually scared me. That
was
pretty
one good.
That was good. That was probably my favorite.
That's excellent.
Chucky with like Minnie Mouse. You can't put those two together.
Right.
Here it goes.
I like this costume. A kid of maybe six to seven, dressed like the clown from It.
Wow.
Pennywise.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Except just one is enough.
Was it that kid's idea, though? At six, he couldn't have seen that movie. He's six years old.
You know, we talked about this briefly yesterday in the Biz Lunch, that there actually is this movement or malady of parents dressing their kids up for Halloween for their own Instagram.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
So that could have been one of those.
Maybe. But he was, I mean, you knew right away who he was, and he looked so sinister. I mean, very few six-year-olds can pull off sinister, but he was selling it.
That's pretty good. And yeah. I did have one girl full Chicago Bears regalia, and I said, are you really a football player? And she said, no. And I go, darn it, the Bears could use you. And that cracked up the whole family.
Well,
so that was the highlight of my night.
That was very nice. That was very, very nice. All right, we'll do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill and Wendy. We're talking about yesterday, about Halloween. How did your Halloween go? A lot of trick-or-treaters. Did you run out of candy? We're at 312-981-7200.
Yes and yes, as I answer both your questions. But Julie has a different answer. Hi, Julie.
Hi. We get very, very few trick-or-treaters. Last year, I think we had two. And so I bought a six-pack of, you know, the larger candy bars. Well, of course, I had to eat one, you know, a week before.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So we had one trick-or-treater come, and then my husband and I ate some of it. And then all of a sudden, the doorbell rings, and we have one left. It was just right before. And my husband and I looked at each other, and I thought, what are we going to hand out? I don't know what you hand out as Plan B. All we had was Diet Coke in the house and beer, and I don't think that would, you know, start handing out beer. But, what do you do? We're all of a sudden, and thank God it was just the neighbor dropping off something that we had left behind. But...
Trouble.
I was scared.
You were very risky, Julie, to only buy six candy bars. I mean, what if all of a sudden there was this group of people over six?
I don't know what you do. I guess if you run around the house and find the pencils or something, that would be the worst.
Julie, kids.
Excuse me, Halloween.
Kids love fabric softener. Just in the future, just keep that in mind.
Give them a bounce sheet.
Thanks.
Right. Hey. One more thing, Wendy. You should have been handing. She should have been handing out Almond Joy in honor of her dog one last day. And sounds like you didn't do it.
No, I didn't. You and Bill should go out and discuss this over lunch. You're both being mean.
Yes, we are. Thank you.
Have a good one. You see what you do to people?
Yeah.
You inspire them.
Yes.
Hi, Maria.
Hi, Wendy, Bill. Great
What's
show.
Up?
Love
Thank
you guys.
You. Thanks.
Listen, we were last night in the Oak Park area, in the Frank Lloyd Wright area. Beautiful homes, mansions. And a group of us, our three-year-old grandson, we went up to one of the largest homes. And he go all the way up in their big yard, and there was nothing. He comes back, and he said, three-year-old, he says, Frank Lloyd Wright didn't leave us any candy. So he started pouting a little bit. I just thought that was the cutest thing. And yes, there was hundreds of kids in that area.
Hundreds.
I'd never seen it that crowded. Really, really big. Lots of people. And by my house, my husband said, no kids.
Really?
No. Really, yeah. We're just by the little area, east of Westchester. There's no kids.
You know what happens, though?
Clark.
Neighborhoods and blocks in particular, it becomes a generational recycling where they're, all of a sudden families are about the same age, so there's kids all growing up at the same time, so that's when it's going to be crowded. And then as they get older, it gets empty, but then a new generation comes in, it gets crowded again. So it is very cyclical.
Yeah. Oh.
You know?
We've been here for 23 years, give or take, and we have this is not unusual for us, because all the kids from our area go out to the Oak Park area, Riverside area, LaGrange, and that area.
Well, so, I saw a lot of kids that weren't from our neighborhood, and they were working it.
Yeah.
They were going to every house. And I was very offended, because there were some kids that would pass my house, even though I was sitting there. I'm like, hello? Is my candy not good enough?
What do you think was behind that?
We also saw a lot of kids being driven.
Yeah.
They park, and then they get their candy, go out, and go up to the next houses. I mean, house by house, which is kind of ridiculous that way. Should have just parked. Yeah, dangerous. But anyway, I just thought that was the cutest thing he said.
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Thanks, Maria.
Don't leave him any candy.
That's pretty cute. Thanks, Maria.
Is Steve still available? Steve, are you listening still?
Yeah.
Just for the record, Wendy.
Reluctantly, but yeah.
I'm picturing Ozzy in her front yard drinking a beer and wondering why the kids aren't coming by.
I made a kid do a trick, too. He was just
this
little...
Is that something you can talk about?
Well, it was a little boisterous kid, and he's like, I want the candy, lady. And I said, okay. And he goes, trick or treat. And I said, here's your treat, you know. And his friend said, you should ask him to do a trick. I said, okay, what's your trick? And he was Thor, and he had this giant hammer, and he just kind of jumped up and slammed my porch really hard.
Oh,
and
I said, fun trick.
That's not really a great treat. He goes, wait, what? Or a trick. And he said, wait, watch this. And he goes to, like, jump off our front porch.
Yeah.
And I said, wait a minute, you're going to break your ankle.
Wait, how old is this kid?
He's probably about 8.
Okay, right. So an 8-year-old in a costume, and he does something that he thinks is cute, and you say, again, what?
Pretty good.
Did you? That wasn't your first version of the story.
I'm not going to be mean to a kid. I'm trying to make the story more enjoyable. But I did say, what else do you have? And that's when he said, watch this.
Yeah.
And he went to jump off my top step, and I'm like, wait, 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 a typical mom. You're going to break an ankle or an arm or something. And come on, he goes, well, let me go down 2 steps. And he just jumped off, and that was it.
I loved this kid.
Are you Thor? My ankle is. Did that ever happen? Steve, Wendy's still mad at you from yesterday.
Oh, good. Why?
Because you didn't know what color her hair is.
How could you say I'm not blonde?
Wendy's very upset with
you. I guess I don't really care, but I've been a blonde my whole life.
Well,
I do color my hair. It's no secret.
I did say yesterday that I was going to regret saying it. Bill loves this. You know that, right?
Wendy, yeah.
This is Bill's favorite. I said I was going to regret saying it, but to me... If you're blonde, you've got blonde hair.
Yeah.
And for a lot of women who self-identify as blonde, I think...
Yeah.
Bill quit it.
Well, I have blonde hair, do I not?
I see some.
Right, it's highlighted and low-lighted.
Steve, yesterday when you said it, Wendy grimaced. You made a very angry face.
Well, I just don't get it.
And then toward the end of the show again, out of nowhere, you said, how can Steve Bertrand, we work together every day, he doesn't know. And then I thought, well, this is over, right? She'll get over it. And then
today,
the first thing
I was bitching at Cochran about it. Can you believe this?
I just feel that if we were to put it to a poll,
yes.
You would lose.
Look at Bill.
Bill, what would happen?
Let me try it this way,
yes.
Bill.
Yes.
I want you to be honest, Bill.
Yes.
Do you, as you look at Wendy,
yes.
Do you consider her a blonde?
I say blonde hair, yes.
You coward.
I do. No,
it's blonde.
I do. So many times when the police have come in and asked me questions about Wendy, I always say, one of the questions is always hair color.
Is she blonde?
I always say blonde.
I guess it's blonder at the bottom.
Well,
that's ombre, you bad ombre. Shut your mouth.
Talking about ombre. Ombre means
I think
it's
that's
hair
dark
that
at the top
and
lighter at the
out.
Bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. Really chunky streaks put in it.
Right. So, but you have as much dark hair on your head as you have blonde hair. Would you say that's true or no?
I would
this
put it.
This time, maybe.
Okay. So, but you identify as a blonde, not as a dark haired woman.
I still wouldn't say I'm a dark-haired woman.
I'm a dark-haired woman. Well, I will.
I would go, like, if you were answering a questionnaire where they would ask you hair color, I would say probably blonde is the most dominant color happening there, right?
Bertrand, you need to get your eyes checked.
Oh, you feel...
You can't believe how upset Wendy got over this,
dude. Well, I just wondered if you see things the way I do, and then I realized the answer to that question.
No. I always thought the ultimate insult, anyone, like if you said, you are a bad mother, like that would crush a woman. But for you, Wendy, I think if somebody said, you're a bad mother, and also you're not a blonde, you'd go, what do you mean I'm not a blonde?
Well, I've made the mistake with others, so I knew it was going to be...
Then why do you keep making the same mistake? Usually we learn from our mistakes.
My mistake was speaking the truth. My truth.
There's no place for that.
Truth. Your truth is not the same as other people's truths.
I'm so glad I didn't go trick-or-treating at your house last night.
Show me a trick.
Bad.
All right, let us do this. We'll take a quick break. Return to your corners, fighters. Return to your corners. Cut me, Polly. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
The first rule of Fight Club is... You do not talk about Fight Club. The second rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Easy rules to abide by, Wendy. Did you ever see the movie Fight Club?
Love it.
Isn't it a great movie? It really is. Edward Norton, Brad
Pitt. He's
great
in it. Yep.
I don't want to give too much away, but if you haven't seen Fight Club, you really owe it to yourself.
It's been 20 years.
Yeah, people should go see it.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. I bring it up because in St. Louis, Missouri, there's a version of Fight Club going on, but in this particular version of Fight Club, the participants are four-year-olds. It's a daycare Fight Club being run by the teachers of a preschool.
Not anymore, after this story came out.
I know. A mother is suing a child care center after she claims her four-year-old son. Now, she say claims, but there's video of it. So you can say claims and you could say allegedly, but there is the most disturbing video of teachers organizing these kids in a classroom in a circle and selecting kids to pound each other. There was a 10-year-old that videotaped it on his phone. He recorded it, and that's how they know it really took place. But throughout the story, they're using words like allegedly or claims. But when you see the video, there's no doubt about it.
Jeez.
These teachers are making these kids fight each other. It's horrendous. Mother is suing a child care center after she claims her four-year-old son was encouraged to fight another child in a Fight Club style scenario. Nicole Marcille said her 10-year-old son filmed video of his four-year-old brother being repeatedly punched at Adventure Learning Center.
It's an adventure.
It is an adventure. Every day is an adventure in St. Louis, Missouri. Marcille claims that the daycare center organized a Fight Club, according to court documents. Video shows one child with a Hulk fist. You've seen this, well, at Halloween time, actually. You can go to a store and buy these giant hands that look like the Hulk's hands. A large green glove on his right hand and punching another boy as the boy lies on the ground. A circle has formed around them as adults, along with other children, watch. Now, the teachers are very into it. There's one in particular. There's one teacher that's way, way, way into it.
Come on, Rock.
And the kids run the gamut. There are some kids that are confused by it. There are some kids that are into it.
There's some kids that are trying to pull them off.
There is one boy who just has seen quite enough, and he wants this over.
They each have a Hulk hand, if you want to. But, you know, they don't have two.
Right.
They each have one.
On their punching hand.
Yeah, but there's... only two hands, so somebody is probably right-handed and has to wear the... Not everyone's ambidextrous like you.
Right, well, yeah.
And that would be a disadvantage. If I got the left hand, I wouldn't be doing
couldn't be as good
left hooks.
Right, right. Marcille said that ABC News... told ABC News that her four-year-old was very afraid and had trouble understanding why his best friends were beating him up.
I have trouble understanding that.
It doesn't make sense. He just doesn't understand why they punched him in the face, Marcille said. I don't know how any parent that could watch their children go through this would not be upset. She added that the day on which the event happened was also her son's birthday.
Well, instead of the spanking machine.
Right. You got to fight the Hulk.
Just one Hulk hand.
Daycare cameras recorded more than 30 minutes of kids fighting. This according to WNEP in St. Louis. Marcille told Fox 2 that her older son texted her saying that the daycare was making them fight. The news station also quoted a police report stating that two teachers were fired over the incident. It said that the St. Louis Circuit Attorney's Office declined to prosecute, however. The two teachers were identified by ABC News as Michaela Guilford and Tina Daly. Court documents state that Guilford told the daycare center's director, Jennifer Scott, that the children were bored that day.
Yeah, here's an idea. How about a board game?
Right.
A B-O-A-R-D, right.
B-O-R-E-D. They were bored that day, and she admitted to having the kids fight each other with Hulk hands because this releases stress. Does it, though, or does it create more stress?
I see where her thought process was, not saying it's right, you know, get out some of your energy.
Right.
But have them do jumping jacks or something.
There's safer ways to relieve stress than punching each other with Hulk hands.
Why was there a 10-year-old at a preschool?
He was, what it seems to be, now I'm piecing it together from the video that they show. He's walking past the classroom, so it's probably one of those schools that has both preschool and regular grades 1 through 4 or 6 or 8 in the same school. So he's walking past, and you can see him in the window. He's got his phone up, and he's videotaping this, because if you're that kid, you go, no one's going to believe this. I better videotape this. When I tell my mom that 4-year-olds are pounding each other with Hulk hands, she's going to say, you dreamt that. That didn't happen.
Why didn't he go rescue his little brother?
Good question.
I was going to say, if you're that kid, you want in the fight, right? Because you could win.
Yes. Yes. You say, I know this is the undercard, but is the main event still open? Because I would like to fight with Hulk hands.
If I'm that 10-year-old, I run in there and go, what the heck is going on? I'm
not going
to take time to videotape it, although maybe it's
good. No, today's world, I think people, their first thought is,
videotape first, react second.
Yeah, don't you think?
Yeah, and he might have been intimidated by the adults that who are supposed to know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. She claims, this is the teacher, she claims that it didn't last for more than 4 minutes. It's only 4 minutes of kids pounding each other. Give me a break. Come
Ding.
On. Right. The rounds were 2-minute rounds. Yes. So the fight only went to the 2 rounds. More than 4 minutes, and that none of the kids were hurt. Now, you see this kid, Wendy. You see the videotape. That kid on the bottom looks like he's being hurt.
It does look like
Doesn't it? Marcille isn't satisfied. This is the mom again. She is suing the daycare center for more than $35,000. We have some audio. Jasmine, can we play the audio? This is the mom.
He doesn't understand why his friends were fighting him, why he got beat up by his best friends, and it was on his 4th birthday.
The fight begins. The kids fall. A teacher kicks in the air in excitement. The only person who tries breaking it up is another preschooler. But he cannot stop one child from pounding the other's head into the floor.
They're fighting.
How about that? I give big credit to the one kid, because you see this group of, it looks like 12 or 14 kids circled around watching the fight, and this kid is like, oh no, this isn't right.
No, it sure isn't. And then they checked cameras at the daycare center, and that captured more than 30 minutes worth of fights also.
Wow.
So this place is in big
trouble. They're in a lot of trouble. Now, the teacher says it only took place for 4 minutes, but the video shows otherwise. As you pointed out, it's about a half an hour's worth of footage. So this was going on for quite a while before it was put to an end. Can you imagine that?
These were 30 minutes worth of other fights that had been going on in the past. Yeah. So if this was 4 minutes,
right.
If there's, you know, 7 more fights.
What was the, walk me through the thought process of the Hulk hands. If you're the teacher, do you think that makes it somehow all right?
Well, it doesn't, you know, like boxing gloves, they make them for kids, and
yeah,
they're
pretty
puffy, and they're, they really don't hurt you as much as a fist would.
Yeah.
I mean, she took some precaution there.
When my brother and I were younger, every year at Christmas time, as we were making out our Christmas lists, we would always put boxing gloves. And my parents would go, we're not buying you boxing gloves. And we'd go, we fight anyway. Why not have boxing gloves on so that it's safer? And we'd say to my dad, you can even referee it if you like. You can bring in a cut man. It's up to you. If Dr. Ferdy Pacheco was in Chicago,
the he'd fight come doctor. In.
But every year, we would say, you know we fight, so at least with boxing gloves, it'll kind of make more sense, you know? And they go, no, that's not going to play.
What were those blow-up hand things, like bebops or something?
Soccer boppers?
Yeah.
Those were soccer boppers.
Did your mom ever get you those?
No, we wanted soccer boppers. That would have been great. And I also would have liked to see pro fighters fight with soccer boppers.
That would be funny.
Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali was very exciting, but with soccer boppers, that would have been a fight to remember forever. That would have been great.
Think of the rhymes. Better than Thrill in Manila, I'm sure.
But Rope-a-Dope, that's still the best.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I feel so bad for these kids. At some point, you just, even if you're a kid and you tell your parents that, you go, my mom and dad aren't going to believe that I go to I'm a four-year-old.
Well, especially if you're in training and they pulled the fights before you were
right.
ready.
Awful.
And I feel bad for these parents because just knowing we all work so hard trying to vet out a place we take our kid to.
Sure.
And we make the best decision that we're able to at the time. And
right.
to think, oh my God, I'm the one who put him in this daycare.
Right.
Bad all the way around.
Jess, can we put the video of this up on our Facebook page? Because you need to see the one teacher in particular has so much enthusiasm. It's like she's at Madison Square Garden watching professional fighters. She's so into it. She's jumping around and kicking around. And she's like so into this. And you go, how do you not know how wrong this is?
I know. I don't understand it. Adam, how are you?
All right. How are you guys?
Good. Did you do some boxing in preschool?
Went to day camp, Tacoma Day Camp up in Northbrook back a long time ago, and they actually had boxing and would put us, whether we wanted to or not, into the boxing rink against whoever else and let us go at it.
Wow.
And I've had Hulk hands with my kids. Those are a hell of a lot softer than boxing gloves.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And I went home with a bloody nose from day camp.
Adam, were parents in on this before it happened? Did they know that their kids were going to be fighting or not?
The ring was there in the camp, so I can't imagine that parents didn't know it was there, but it was certainly a memory from camp that I don't like.
I'm sure of it. That's awful. Wow.
It was horrible.
So what was your record when all was said and done?
I lost. I'm a swimmer, not a fighter.
Oh, all right. That's fair. All right. Well, thanks, Adam.
Sorry this happened to you, Adam.
Yeah, traumatic memories from childhood.
Of course.
It seems like it.
Of course.
Thank you so
Bye,
much
Adam.
For calling.
You know, on the last episode of This Is Us, there's a scene where Jack is teaching Randall, as a young boy, how to protect himself and fight with boxing gloves. And I'm sure that for a lot of kids, that's a very important skill to have, to be able to defend themselves. But a school just can't, out of nowhere, just arbitrarily pull out the idea of four-year-olds punching each other. That's not going to fly.
No, that's bad.
Wow.
That's super bad.
Wow. All right. A break and then a little bit more news. Well, news later on. A little bit more.
What is wrong with you?
Take your Hulk hand and just pop me in the head with it. Just see what happens.
Ready?
Yeah. Boing. All right. I'm fine now.
It's a big weekend for Northwestern, y'all. I don't know.
It's contagious.
You're rubbing off on
it's
me.
It's very contagious.
Stop doing that. I'm going to call HR.
All right.
It's a big weekend for Northwestern athletics. We have the powerhouses for you tomorrow at 7:10 a.m. on the Steve Cochran Show. Coach Fitz and Coach Collins will join you to talk Cats.
Lily Winwood will join us in about 15 minutes. Boy, can she sing. She's so good.
Like an angel, which her father, Steve Winwood, often sounds like an angel to me.
Yeah, yeah. There's some kind of angelic
gene. It's just
beautiful,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have that gene.
No. I never thought I'd start out a story this way, Wendy, but I will. People are mad at Al Roker.
Really?
Yeah. Al Roker yesterday for Halloween decided to dress like Doc Brown. You know who that is?
No.
From Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're going back, Marty. Back to the Future, that guy. So he decided to dress up like Doc Brown. Emmett Brown is his formal name. Christopher Lloyd played him, of course, in Back to the Future, and all the Back to the Future movies.
I didn't realize his last name. I knew Doc.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because Marty McFly always called him just Doc. So why would people be mad at Al Roker for dressing like Doc Brown? Well, they say, certain people on the Twitter, that this is offensive, that if white people cannot dress like black characters, that black people cannot dress like white characters. Here's Al Roker's response to this, also on the Twitter. I'm going to say this one last time, but the folks who get it understand, and the ones who don't, all caps, won't. I can be Doc Brown, and I wear the outfit and the wig and not change my skin color. If you're white, you can be President Obama if you want, just don't color your skin. To his point, his version of Doc Brown looked just like it. He had the scientist lab coat on. He had the white frizzy hair, just like Christopher Lloyd did in the movies. But he didn't go white face.
And he didn't have to, because with the costume, you knew who he was.
You knew exactly who
That's
he was.
That's pretty great.
It looked, yeah, it's a good-looking costume, right?
I'd like to borrow that next year.
Al Roker's clapping back at trolls who don't understand why blackface is offensive just 1 week after NBC canceled his colleague Megyn Kelly's hour on the Today Show over comments over her comments on the issue. Now, I will admit that the timing is interesting, but if he had gone whiteface, then I think it would have given more people cause to complain, and people would have complained.
Yeah, because people complain about everything. Yeah.
I got a story in the news coming up about a teacher who... is involved in this now.
Can you say what it was, Steve, or is that too much? You just
I mean, it's she wore blackface to a Halloween costume party.
Recently? Like in this year? What in God's name is going on?
I know.
That well, and more at 11.
Did you see? Good tease, Steve.
Thank you.
Did you see? You know who Shaun White is? The Olympian White? All right, so he decided, now this was over the weekend at a Halloween party, he was dressed like the character Simple Jack. This is the Ben Stiller character. From Tropic Thunder.
I never saw that movie.
You never saw Tropic Thunder? It would take a lot of explaining and justifying to come up with enough for you to know about this character. He's a character that, in the movie, in Tropic Thunder, Ben Stiller is an actor, right? They're shooting a movie about Vietnam in the movie. And Ben Stiller is going through, he's cycling through the other characters he's played, and one of them is a character named Simple Jack, who is has learning difficulties.
Okay.
So Shaun White dressed just like this guy, Simple Jack, and people are upset because they said, well, you're making fun of a character, you know, who has problems. You
Isn't
can't do that.
Isn't he paying homage to him?
To some extent, yes.
That's why any time my kids would want to be something that is iffy, I would say, pick another costume.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you have to think and go, do you think people take this the wrong way? Maybe it's time to find a different costume.
Well, this is one. People who commented on it said that it was insensitive, and I can see where...
Yes,
I can see where... It is, but the character in the movie is also extremely insensitive, and... I know people, I don't know if you haven't seen the movie, so it's impossible
did anyone,
for you to comment.
Did it
oh, yeah, it did really well. And I have to say, it's a hysterically funny movie.
Well,
it's really funny.
And Robert Downey Jr. is in blackface in that movie,
yes,
right?
He is.
I mean, so.
Yes, he is.
Here we go.
He's a white actor who decides it'll get him more attention if he plays a black character in the movie. The movie is filled with that kind of thing. And if you're buying into it, you're buying into it. But if you're offended by it, it's the worst movie in the world for you to see.
Sounds like it.
You know? So that's another celebrity costume that got in trouble. And then the third one is Tommy Lauren, who works over at Fox News. She's a commentator for Fox News. She was dressed not just as Kathy Griffin, but as the magazine picture of Kathy Griffin holding up the Donald Trump head.
All right. Was she thinking at all before this happened?
I think what she was thinking was, this will continue to inflame people upset by it, and it worked. A lot of people were upset by it, including Kathy Griffin. The two of them got into a Twitter war over how offensive that costume was.
And do we know this woman? Is she...
Tommy Lauren. She shows up, not only is she on Fox, Steve, but she's always on political debate shows. You see her all the time. Very attractive blonde-haired woman who always starts out... She's a master
blonde
at this.
On Fox?
Yeah, I know. You need a microscope to find them, but they're there. She always starts out, this is such a strong thing that she pulls out. She starts out making everybody believe that there's not going to be trouble here, that we're all on the same page, we're all going to get along, and then it quickly, you know, goes awry. She does that time and time again. She's a master at it. She's great at it. But she upset Kathy Griffin, who said, hey, just so you know, you know, this kind of thing got me in trouble. Why would you do something like this? And there's a Twitter war. It's not the first Twitter war between those two, but it's an ongoing Twitter war between those two.
And she held up a clown mask, correct?
Yeah, instead of the Donald Trump head, she held up a clown mask. Does that make it better or worse?
I'm sick of everyone.
It's official.
Finished. I just really...
It's totally official now? All right, we'll do this. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news. And then after the news, if you've not heard Lily Winwood in the past, boy, are you in for a treat. She'd join us right after the news.
Coming up, too, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand.
Is my tongue even in my mouth?
I don't think so.
It doesn't feel like it is today.
Yes, the stories that matter coming up with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We have a special musical guest in the studio with us. Right. There she is. Boy, we didn't even need to have you on. She's Lily Winwood. You may recognize the name. Your dad, of course, Steve Winwood.
That old fella.
Yeah.
Friend of mine.
Is he thrilled that you're doing what you're doing? He must be.
Do you know what? I've never even really kind of like had that conversation with him. I mean,
really?
he helps me out as much as he can, but yeah. I think if anything, my mother's the one like, oh God, you're going
Another
into
one.
The music industry.
Yeah. I'm sure
like,
of it.
Be careful. Yeah.
I'm sure of it. Is she also connected to the world of music in any way?
She... No.
No? No?
No. I mean, she loves to just kind of manage a lot of things, whether it
Is
be
Is she a momager?
Dad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether it be my dad, whether it be my household, or, you know.
Well, you're still young.
Do. Yeah.
You're still young, 23 years old.
23.
Wow.
Singer-songwriter. Your first recording, is it an EP? I don't know what
it's
the terminology
EP, yeah.
is
it's
anymore.
It's a five-song EP.
So. Why can't it be a five-song LP?
Right.
I mean, seriously.
You're just a couple songs away.
Right?
Yeah, it's not far. I have a weird confession to make. Until today, I didn't know your dad was British. I didn't know you were British, and I didn't know the Queen of England was British until today. I'm just finding all this out. I'm shocked.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, here's the weird thing. You think of Blind Faith. I saw your dad at the Riviera with the Traffic reunion. And seriously, he comes out behind the keyboard. There's this white light behind him, and he starts singing. And I'm getting goosebumps now thinking about it. He sounded like an angel. And you do forget of the British background because... You don't sing that way.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why don't you sing with a bit of an accent?
Do you know what? It's a weird thing. Also, I find, like, being in Nashville, when I get on stage sometimes, I'll, like, put on an American accent, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing?
Can you do a little American accent? How does it sound when you talk American?
Oh gosh. Does that mean you're going to do an English accent
no,
for me?
No.
Yes, you will.
I won't.
I don't know. Can I have a cheeseburger, please?
That's very American
that
sounding.
That is totally.
That's what
and
we say all day.
Do you throw a y'all at the end of it because you're in Nashville?
I don't know. Maybe not that far.
So the more time you spend in Nashville, you pick up a little bit of that dialect.
Yeah,
huh?
I mean, I kind of grew up in mid-air anyway. My mom's from Trenton, Tennessee.
Oh,
so
wow.
You can imagine what her
really?
Accent's like.
Yeah.
But I just kind of have this weird twang anyway.
Yeah.
Loads of people think I'm Australian, but I just kind of grew up in midair, you know.
But in England, the accents change from block to block. It's amazing in England, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you, when you run across a fellow countryman, can you tell where they're from just after a couple of seconds of hearing them talk?
Not really.
It's not easy for you?
No.
No?
I more so can in the U.S.,
really?
I think.
Yeah.
Do we have Chicago accents to you?
Accents?
I guess
yeah, we do.
I guess the question has been answered.
Yeah, that was fast.
So you come from England and you move to Tennessee. Was that your first place that you came to visit in the States?
Yeah, it's always kind of been home to me. I was born there.
Okay.
And my parents have always had a place there growing up. And so I used to spend my summers there. And it just so happens that it's Music City. So
I love Nashville.
Two birds, one stone.
It's pretty great. Mm-hmm.
Are you more comfortable there or here, or is it a combination? Are you good in both places?
Well, in England, I grew up, like, in the middle of the countryside. Like, you walk out of my house and you cannot see a light.
Really?
So, I think... And then London was just too much of a big city, whereas Nashville's kind of that perfect in-between.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah,
I feel like I'm a lot...
Gloucester? Is that where you're from originally?
Gloucestershire,
I don't
see,
really,
that
I don't
was his British
right.
accent right there.
I don't
Good
think
job,
you're saying it quite
almost
right.
that.
Mr. Know-it-all, that's why I didn't say it. I just said England, because I don't know how to say it.
I don't know how to say it. You just said it, and I still couldn't say it
yeah,
right.
How do you pronounce that?
Gloucestershire.
Not sure you're right on that. Yeah. All right.
Tennessee's a whole lot of fun. I've been to Franklin, which is a great little
beautiful
markets and restaurants and antiques and just beautiful countryside.
Love it there, yeah.
It's pretty wonderful. You play a lot in Nashville, obviously.
I do, yeah.
Every night?
No. Not every night. But just like every once in a while. I mean, Nashville is just such a great community of not only good songwriters, but like just loyal kind of like people in the music industry that'll get you in on shows. You know, if you're not up to much, they'll be like, hey, come sit in with me. Or, you know, you could, I'm sure, find somewhere to play every night if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've actually got a show coming up in Nashville on November 17th at the Bowery Vault.
What is that?
So the Bowery Vault's a really cool venue. It's a bit on the smaller side, but it's also by day a record store and vintage clothing.
Oh, wow.
And by night a venue.
Wow.
So,
interesting mix.
Yeah.
This isn't Jack White's place, is it?
No.
Because that's the same, you know, he's got the little record store where you can go in and record something in a phone booth and pretend you're Superman.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun.
Yeah.
Part of the reason you're here is you're performing in town tonight, Haymarket Pub and Brewery. That's at the corner of Halsted and Randolph. And then on Saturday, another Haymarket, the Haymarket Tap in Bridgman, Michigan, which is roughly 2 hours away from
here.
So you're only playing places called Haymarket. You refuse to do any other places.
Right.
That's how it is. Good for you.
Yeah,
you gotta stick
I'm excited.
To your scruples. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So have you been before? You've done these before?
I haven't, no, but we went and got a couple snacks last night down at the Haymarket
to get a feel for
pub,
what it's like.
Yeah, and just had a sort of nosy around.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Check
Seems
it out. Out. So you got to do that.
Yeah. All right. Good.
It's part of the Haymarket Americana concert series, and you're getting a little drink of water, wetting the whistle, and we're hoping that you will play a song for us. Shall we take a break first and come back, or do you want to do a song now? It's up to you.
It's completely... Well, I was about to say it's up to you. I'll play a song right now. Go ahead.
Yeah?
That whistle's nice and wet.
Congratulations on that.
All right, let me give you a little reverb. You tell me. We'll do the little sound check on the air.
All righty.
Guitar good enough?
Guitar's good.
All right.
All right, this song is called California.
Of the highway.
I wish you could see the goosebumps on my arms right now.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
So much emotion. There's hope and despair at the exact same time. It's hard to pull that off. You pulled that off. Beautiful.
You. And your voice, it's so pure, it's so gentle, it's so powerful. You're wrapping it up. You have
it is early in the morning.
Which is more impressive.
Oh, yeah, way you. More impressive.
New fan right here. Can't wait to see more from you. We're going to take a break and hear more from Lily Winwood, and that was called California.
Yes,
and it's from Silver Stage.
That is actually not. That is a new song.
Oh, brand new. Love it.
Brand
it
new.
Is absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. All right, more with Lily Winwood, and we'll tell you where she's going to be, and that's coming up. All right, she is Lily Winwood. We are lucky enough to have her in the studio with us. You can go to her website, lilywinwood.org. We'll tell you where she's playing. It's tonight and Saturday. Tonight in town, Bill, you seem to have it all going on.
I do have it. Tonight at the Haymarket Pub and Brewery, that's at the corner of Halstead and Randolph. The show starts at 7:30, but the doors open at 5, so get there early and help them set up. You can also see Lily at Haymarket Tap in Bridgman, Michigan. That takes place on Saturday. Haymarketbeer.com has all your ticket information.
How old were you when you first started performing?
First started performing in my with my brother in like bands at school, probably when I was like 11, 12. But I don't think I actually got into like songwriting until I was maybe 15 or 16.
Much older, much more
yeah,
wise.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Until I was like less embarrassed to put my feelings on a piece of paper.
You are putting it all out there. I mean, that is something.
Right.
How old were you when you first went up on stage with your dad, Steve Winwood, to sing?
That is actually a really good question. I think, well, we used to perform in church together a lot, but I think one of the first times I ever got up on stage with him singing background vocals, I was 18.
Yeah. What song?
Higher Love.
Oh, that's a great tune.
Great
Bring
song.
Me.
Is your dad being a superstar, is that a hindrance? Is that a good thing, a bad thing? How do you look at it?
I don't know. People ask me this all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's never a bad thing.
But then you're held up to a standard.
Yeah,
right,
right. Yeah. But I mean, it definitely opens a lot of doors.
Yeah.
Which is what you need in this business,
right.
Unless you go on The Voice.
Yeah,
or,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
hard.
It's a really tough business. So I definitely have a leg up in that sense. And then it's also just a positive thing because, you know, he helps me out with a lot
yeah.
of stuff, and like, you know, just music wise he'll help me, you know, figure out chords or
oh, good.
Write songs, things like that.
Yeah, that's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Blind Faith, Traffic, Solo, favorite one, what do you like the best?
I like Traffic a lot.
Yeah.
Just because it was in that like kind of weird psychedelic
yeah.
70s, you know.
Yeah.
Do you see Uncle Eric Clapton at all?
Uncle, no.
He's a fairly decent guitar player. He
yeah,
knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I've heard he's all right.
He's all right.
Yeah. I heard he just got like the world record for catching like the biggest trout or something.
Is that true?
It's something really bizarre like that, but I find
wow.
it amazing.
Wow.
Jack of all trades, clearly.
And this was during a show. He just reached out.
Yeah,
and
they
he
had a little
trout?
Kiddie pool.
That's insane. Right.
And can you pinpoint one of your dad's favorite songs? Because, I mean, with all his hits, it's so hard to pick your favorite one, isn't it?
My favorite
yeah.
one of his? Oh, gosh. I mean, I'm just such a good, I mean, such a big fan of Can't Find My Way Home.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I think it's just such a pretty song. But then also Medicated Goo, Traffic Song. I really like that.
Mm.
Yeah. That's such a great career, and I know you're going to follow in his footsteps.
Thank you.
All right. Lily Winwood is her name. What song are you going to do for us now?
This song is called London. It is from my EP, Silver Stage. It's the first song on it.
Sleep in this little old bed with you. I found the wrong way out, broke in your parents' house, forgot that you live in London now.
So good.
Oh, my God.
So good. Go see Lily Winwood. You can see her tonight at the Haymarket Pub and Brewery, 737 West Randolph. That's a 7:30 start. Or on Saturday at the Haymarket Tap in Bridgman, Michigan. You want to go to haymarketbeer.com. No wonder you are the proud and joy of Gloucestershire, England.
Just say Nashville. She's there now.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you so much. LilyWinwood.org is the website. All social media all over the place. We're already following you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Come back and see us.
Yeah, of course.
All right, a break and some news. And then Dean Richards. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
Which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry? If you love films,
that was my fault. It's my fault, not Jasmine's. It's my fault. Sorry, Dean. Missed some of your song.
Did you change the lyrics? I don't remember those being the lyrics. You did. Dean Richards joins us right now. Dean, are you angry? Wendy messed up the intro.
Oh, hang on. He's on the phone.
Today.
There he is.
Hi, Dean.
if I don't hear the entire theme song, yeah. I cannot,
you can't perform.
Will not work under these conditions.
Who can blame you?
I told you Red M&Ms.
Yep. Dean, let's start out with some bad news. The world of show business is stunned with the revelation that Tyler Perry will no longer be playing his Madea character. Please walk us through this.
Yeah, not only is no longer playing, but apparently has said that he is going to kill the character off.
Yeah.
Because he said he doesn't want to be.
We're going to have to call you back. Dean, we're getting...
Bill, do we have a bad
connection? Yeah,
it's a bad connection. Can we call you right back?
Are you in the sauna?
I'm in an airplane.
Oh, can you land for a moment and we'll talk to you?
Let me put the landing gear down. Right. Get a better connection.
All right. Yeah, we'll call you right back. We'll get a better connection.
I'm hanging up on him.
All right, so Jasmine will call him back.
Why is he on a plane? Is that where he does his reports?
Dean
now?
Doesn't drive. He takes a plane everywhere he goes.
I did
it's
not
the
know
weirdest
that.
Thing. He lives in Rogers Park, and he takes a small Cessna from Rogers Park to the city and then back when he's done. Yeah, he's living the high life again. All right. Why don't we do this? We'll take a quick break. We'll reconnect with
Dean.
That's
a good idea. You're a smart man.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks, Wendy. And we'll get a better connection. So stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Before we do that, though, these words, Wendy, you know what's not smart?
What?
Me?
All right, we're going to try it again with Dean.
Dean, are you there?
I blame Wendy for that.
Yeah.
Everyone else does, no worries.
Wendy's fault.
Although, who were you, Paul Stanley or Ace Frehley? Who were you?
I was Paul Stanley, of course. Yeah, with the... white clown makeup on and the star on my eye, kiss wig. Yeah, that was, we were doing a big kiss contest yesterday. So, turns out Larry and Robin didn't want to get dressed up. So it all fell to me. The responsibility fell to me.
You made it happen.
I represented our show. I was dressed as Ozzy Osbourne yesterday.
Did you bite the head off of a pigeon?
I had a bat that I had with me.
Nice.
Yep. No one was safe.
American League or National League?
American.
It was a Louisville Slugger. Dean, tell us about Bohemian Rhapsody. We've been waiting to hear not just your review, but to see the movie. It's finally opening this weekend. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know what? This is so interesting because some of the early national reviews have come out, and they're fairly negative about the movie, which could not have surprised me more, because I walked out of this movie on cloud nine. I loved it. I thought, first and foremost, Rami Malek, who plays Freddie Mercury in this movie, is going to be nominated for an Academy Award. He is spectacular in this role. He captures the physical movements, the voice. He doesn't do all of the singing in this movie. It's supplemented with Freddie Mercury's actual vocal tracks, and they brought in another Freddie Mercury sound-alike singer to kind of supplement the vocals to this. But dramatically, he makes you feel the jubilation that was the late 70s, mid-70s, into the 80s when Freddie Mercury passed away. He makes you feel the jubilation. He makes you feel the success. This movie also takes you into some of the darker areas of Freddie's self-exploration, accepting his sexual orientation, becoming diagnosed with HIV and AIDS, which I know are not pleasant things, but they're part of the true story. One of the national reviews that I read that trashed this movie said that the movie was homophobic because Freddie Mercury didn't embrace his sexual orientation. This had to be a 20-year-old reviewer who didn't remember what it was like for people who were questioning their sexual orientation then, and how ostracized and how difficult it was for people back then, and especially how ostracized somebody was who was diagnosed HIV positive.
Yeah.
It was a terribly difficult time
I think they very accurately portrayed how Freddie Mercury dealt with all this. This movie is anything but homophobic. It's celebratory. It's very emotional, highs and lows. But overall, the overall theme that you're going to get from this movie is a rockin' good time.
That's what I want, man.
I had forgotten how many great songs Queen had. I had so much fun. You're going to be singing along with every single one of them. I really liked it. I gave it a big old plus day.
Oh, that's great news. Can't wait to see it. It's Bohemian Rhapsody. It's opening this weekend, as is a new version of the Nutcracker. What can you tell us about this?
Really? My dog's getting neutered right now.
Yeah, good
Thanks,
timing,
Bill.
Wendy. You get half off.
That's ironic. Yeah, that's ironic. That would be called Nut Clipper, I think. That would be called. That would really be a different version. But
Dean working blue.
It's called Nutcracker and the Four Realms. It's from Disney, and it's kind of a live action. You know, some of it's slightly animated, some of it's live action. A story of a young girl who is bequeathed a gift from her late mother, but there is a magic key that is required to open this gift and appreciate this gift. So the movie is about her quest in this magical kingdom to find this key. The movie actually kind of reminded me of Wizard of Oz a little bit, because along the way, this young girl who's looking for the key meets other people along the journey, and they go along also on the journey for all different reasons, much like Wizard of Oz,
yeah,
where you have this kind of band of people who are in search of something. It's a lovely story. It's beautifully done. It's colorful and musical, and there's lots of dancing. There's lots of a beautiful ballet, kind of true to the Nutcracker, with all the familiar songs from the original in it. It's very nice. It's beautiful for the kids. I think adults are going to like it too. It leaves you in a good mood.
It's hard to sell a movie, though, Dean. If a movie has too much ballet dancing, it's a hard sell on America, isn't it?
Depends who's dancing.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, the ballet dancers are quite good in this, but yeah. It's not overwhelmingly dance heavy. It's extremely story heavy, and the visual and the adventure really is the main driving force. Where there are little sprinkles of dance moments in this movie. It's not like going to the Joffrey Ballet where everything is dance.
Yeah.
This one is quite different. I actually enjoyed it. Maybe because I was wearing a tutu. Just a coincidence that I just happened to be wearing it the night that I saw this movie. I gave this a Dean Close B+. And let me tell you something. At my age, a tutu is not comfortable to wear.
All the chafing. It's not comfortable.
Why is mine called a 4-4?
They do not make them in husky big boy sizes.
Look at all the big movies, Dean, that have come out, not just this weekend, but in the last couple of weeks, that are music based. What's going on there? Why so many music type movies?
And Rocket Man, when's that coming out?
That's still a few months off. That's still a ways off.
I don't think that's going to be before Christmas, but it's going to be an interesting competition, especially at the Golden Globes, where they have a competition for their categories called comedy or musical. There are lots of movies that are extremely, musically oriented. And I still think A Star Is Born is the one to beat. I still haven't seen anything better than A Star Is Born. That to me is pure perfection. But there are lots of them that are great. Bohemian Rhapsody is just complete rock and roll fun, extremely nostalgic. So I think we've got some good ones. Speaking of, before we got technically interrupted, we were talking about Tyler Perry, who's going to kill off his Medea character in about a year or so, according to what he said in an interview. There's a new Tyler Perry directed movie this week. He's not in it. It actually stars Tiffany Haddish and Tika Sumpner. It's called Nobody's Fool. I haven't seen it. It wasn't screened, so I can't really tell you much more about it. And that Tiffany Haddish plays a woman who's just out of jail, and is her sister, who is very well-to-do and very well off, is trying to help her sister trying to get back into society. So I know it's rated R. I know it's a comedy, but that's all that I can tell you about that, Bill. I know that you run, that you don't walk, you run to any new Tyler Perry
movie. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Despite the fact that Madea is not in this, you know, at least you should know that that it's out there.
Oh, excellent. Tiffany Haddish, by the way, getting a lot of work lately.
She's really
in a lot
funny.
Of movies now.
Yeah, she's very funny, and she's, you know, she's the it girl right now.
Yeah.
I actually think that she's in danger of being overexposed. I realize that, you know, when you... you know, when you've been a struggling comedian and, you know, trying to get a break like this, that you take everything that comes along. But I don't think it would be a terrible idea for her to say no to some of the projects that are coming along.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Dean, I have to ask you a quick question about the Academy Awards. Now, we're still a couple of months away. They haven't even announced the nominations yet. But they were talking about adding another category for popular movies. And now there's some backlash that that might not be happening. Do you know where that stands or not?
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be happening, at least not this year. They decided that it was too much change too soon. They're at least going to wait until 2 years, let this cycle pass and then possibly do it the year after that, and that's to accommodate films like Avengers and the big commercial movies that don't normally get very much Academy Award attention.
Are you for that category or against the new category? What are your thoughts?
I like it, yeah. I don't think it. Some people say that it waters down. I don't think it does, because too many good movies get completely ignored. It's tough, and, you know, the kinds of movies that tend to win Best Picture are certainly good pictures, but, you know, in many, many years, they're independent films, they're small films, and the big movies that also have had a huge impact get zero attention. So I don't think it's a terrible thing to have a separate category for other kinds of movies. Almost every other awards organization has something like that right now. I think it's time for the Academy to catch up. One of those movies this year might be the Fantastic Beasts sequel, which is a Harry Potter prequel with Eddie Redmayne, and Jude Law is starring as young
Dumbledore.
In this one, and that's why I'm headed to Los Angeles right now. As you can hear, our pilot is making a lovely announcement right now.
Oh.
Apparently, he doesn't know that I'm on the radio.
Oh.
And should shut up.
Oh no. Dean, travel safely.
That's where I'm headed, and I'm going to interview that whole cast, and I'll have that next week.
Oh, that'll be excellent.
And also next week, I'd like to know who's playing the part of Jim Tarano in Rocket Man. So find out that information.
A new addition.
All right, cool.
Dean, thanks.
Travel
safely. We'll see you when you get back.
All right, guys. See you soon.
That's Dean Richards. We'll take a quick break, and then Wendy and I are headed to the stream. Join us there or stick around here for the Wintrust Business Lunch. We'll find out what Steve has for you next.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.